The next day, I actually felt like eating. I wandered in for lunch to find Rosaline wearing a new dress and her hair freshly plaited. She was poking tissues into her bosom for safekeeping. "Where did you get that dress?" I said. She turned a circle, modeling it, and when I smiled, she turned another one. It was what you would call a tent dress, yards of material falling from her shoulders without benefit of waistband and darts. It had a bright red background with giant white flowers all over it. I could see she was in love with it.
"August took me into town yesterday, and I bought it," she said.
I felt startled suddenly by the things that had been going on without me. "Your dress is pretty," I lied, noticing for the first time there were no lunch fixings anywhere. She smoothed her hands down the front of it, looked at the clock on the stove, and reached for an old white vinyl purse of May's that she'd inherited. "You going somewhere?" I said.
"She sure is," said August, stepping into the room, smiling at Rosaline. "I'm gonna finish what I started," Rosaline said, lifting her chin. "I'm gonna register to vote."
My arms dropped by my sides and my mouth came open. "But what about you being, you know?" Rosaline squinted at me.
"What?"
"A fugitive from justice," I said. "What if they recognize your name? What if you get caught?" I cut my eyes over to August.
"Oh, I don't think there'll be a problem," August said, taking the truck keys off the brass nail by the door. "We're going to the voter drive at the Negro High School."
"But..."
"For heaven's sake, all I'm doing is getting my voter's card," said Rosaline.
"That's what you said last time," I told her. She ignored that. She strapped May's purse on her arm. A split ran from the handle around onto the side.
"You wanna come, Lily?" said August.
I did and I didn't. I looked down at my feet, tanned and bare. "I'll just stay here and make some lunch." August lifted her eyebrows.
"It's nice to see you're hungry for a change."
They went on to the back porch, down the steps. I followed them to the truck. As Rosaline got in, I said, "Don't spit on anybody's shoes, okay?" She let out a laugh that made her whole body shake. It looked like all the flowers on her dress were bobbing in a gust of wind. I went back inside, boiled 2 hot dogs, and ate them without buns. Then I headed back to the woods where I picked a few bachelor buttons that grew wild in the plots of sunshine before getting bored and tossing them away. I sat on the ground, expecting to sink down into my dark mood and think about my mother. But the only thoughts I had were for Rosaline. I pictured her standing in a line of people. I could almost see her practicing writing her name, getting it just right. Her big moment. Suddenly, I wished I'd gone with them. I wished it more than anything. I wanted to see her face when they handed her card. I wanted to say, "Rosaline, you know what? I'm proud of you." What was I doing sitting out here in the woods? I got up and went inside. Passing the telephone in the hallway, I had an urge to call Zach, to become part of the world again. I dialed his number. When he answered, I said, "So, what's new?"
"Who's this?" he said.
"Very funny," I told him.
"I'm sorry about everything," he said. "August told me what happened."
Silence floated between us a moment, and then he said,
"Will you have to go back?"
"You mean back to my father?" He hesitated.
"Yeah."
The minute he said it, I had the feeling that's exactly what would happen. Everything in my body felt it.
"I suppose so," I said.
I coiled the phone cord around my finger and stared down the hall at the front door. For a few seconds, I was unable to look away, imagining myself leaving through it and not coming back.
"I'll come see you," he said, and I wanted to cry.
Zack knocking on the door of T. Ray Owens' house. It could never happen.
I asked you what was new, remember?
I didn't expect anything was, but I needed to change the subject.
Well, for starters, I'll be going to the White High School this year.
I was speechless. I squeezed the phone in my hand. Are you sure you want to do that? I said. I knew what those places were like.
Somebody's got to, he said. Might as well be me.
Both of us, it seemed like, were doomed to misery.